Okay, right. Well, this is God's Friend, part 12, the ultimate part. This is the end. Today we're going to finish our journey with our last visit to Abraham's tent. We have spent the last 12 sessions looking at the key points in Abraham's life, at the man whom the Apostle James called God's Friend. We met him when he was 75. And as he was someone who heard the voice of God and walked away from a family of pagan lunar worshippers to a land of promise, and history was never going to be the same. The history that we look out on out the doors of this church today has been so greatly influenced by Abraham. So today we would consider Abraham as the forerunner of all who have faith, and primarily we will be seeing today what the New Testament says about him. So, my first point today is content. I love what this passage says in Genesis 25. Abraham was 175 years old, so from the day he is introduced to God, he has another 100 years. So, you know, we should never expect that we can count on tomorrow. But on the other hand, God is very gracious and may give you lots of tomorrows. So, Abraham died at the age of 175, but the Bible says this. He was old. Yeah, that's obvious, isn't it, really? He was 175. But he was contented. He died a content man. How wonderful. How wonderful. If we could learn anything from Abraham, surely it ought to be the secret of being content. Philippians 4 says this. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And Paul is chained in a filthy Roman dungeon when he writes this. I have learnt to be content. Would you be content when the only place you can go to the toilet is where you stood? Would you be content if you've got rusty, horrible chains rubbing into your skin, making sores? Would you be content? Would you be content in a place where there is no food provided? The only reason that people survived in prison was visitors brought them things. You know, would you be content with that? Because the Apostle Paul was. In fact, Philippians is full of things that tell us how excited he was about life. Sometimes we are a bit off colour and we find it very hard to be excited about anything. But the Apostle Paul is chained up in dungeons and he is happy. You know, we ought to just sometimes stand back a little bit and say to God, God, forgive me for not being quite so happy this morning. And we ought to just rejoice. You know, there are so many things to be grateful for. Thank God for his goodness to us. God had promised to bless Abraham, and that's exactly what he did. He also promised to bless the world through his descendants. And that was going to happen through Isaac. Ishmael had already been sent away. Now these other sons through Keturah were also sent away, because everything now that Abraham had left was owned by Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise, and that was special. And so, in this chapter 25, we find Abraham ends up in a cave with Sarah. The same cave in which he buried Sarah, his own body is buried. So he ended up with Sarah again. Of course, dying content is great, but living content should be our target. Today, we seek to be content in all things. My second point today is genealogy. It's not that easy to read, I know, but on there you've got a diagram of Abraham's sons and their sons. And the New Testament starts with Abraham. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The historical record of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then the genealogy starts with Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob. The story of Jesus, Matthew says, starts with Abraham. And you know something? We cannot escape Abraham if we're following Jesus. Because Abraham led to Jesus. Abraham's offspring. The seed of Abraham. What is Matthew trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us the seed of Abraham is blessing the world today. Because Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham. Our salvation is from Jesus, who was descended from Abraham. God's plan of salvation was intimately connected with Abraham. The Son of God could trace his earthly ancestry back to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, was God's promise to Abraham. And Jesus is how that promise came true. Thank God for that. Isn't it wonderful? Abraham has such an impact on us because Jesus came that way. On another occasion, Jesus refers to Abraham knowing himself. He says, John 8:56, "Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day. He saw it and rejoiced." The Jews replied, "You aren't 50 years old yet, and you've seen Abraham." Jesus said to them, "I assure you, before Abraham was, I am." This tells us a couple of things. It tells us that Jesus was saying that he was God Almighty. He wasn't being a bit coy about it. He's being very clear. Before Abraham was, I am. I am is the name of God. But also, he is saying that Abraham saw him in faith. He had a sense of vision that his seed would bless the world. And that that seed would, of course, be fulfilled in Jesus. So Abraham has an impact on genealogy in the New Testament. My third point today is living. Matthew 22, verse 32, Jesus says, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but God of the living." In here, at this moment, Jesus declares that Abraham was alive. Alive with God. God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. You know something? We go to funerals and I seem to be going to more funerals now than I did when I was younger. You can think about that afterwards. But the reality is that people talk a lot of rubbish sometimes at funerals. They talk about people being dead now. And sometimes, well, their bodies are dead, but they are alive with Christ. Other times they talk about them in heaven with the angels, and these are people who've often never even committed their lives to Jesus and have no connection. It worries me sometimes, some of the rubbish that is talked at funerals. But you know what? For those who will follow Jesus, there is life, and it's eternal life, and it's life with Abraham and with Jesus. In Matthew 8, verse 11, Jesus says, "I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness." Jesus is saying that some people who are religious, they're not going to make it. But those who are sons of the kingdom will recline with Abraham. In the presence of God. How wonderful. Even the rich man in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus sees Abraham in paradise. It says, "And being in torment in Hades, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus at his side. Abraham is in paradise. Where did Jesus say he would be when he was on the cross? He said today to the person who was crucified with him, who turned to Jesus. Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. With Abraham. That's the place where we go when we die. Not only does Abraham have a message to us about living, he has a message to us about resurrection. You know, The Passion was a great movie. You know, don't you, that they're just about finishing now filming the follow-up. And we don't have a title for it yet. I mean, I think we're supposing it's going to be called The Resurrection or something, but that's the same team are making the follow-up at the moment. So watch for that. That should be out with us sometime next year. Abraham believed in the resurrection from the dead, even though he had no model for it. He hadn't seen anything about it. In fact, all he picked it up from God was the way God is, it's got to happen. He so much believed in it that he was prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac, because he believed that if he did, he would see Isaac raised from the dead. Hebrews 11 verse 17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was offering us his unique son, about whom it had been said, in Isaac your seed will be called. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying that in effect, Abraham received Isaac back from the dead, because Abraham had already committed to obeying God. And so it was a done deed in Abraham's thinking. And when God showed Abraham, I don't want human sacrifice. The moon did, but I don't want it. Let's not have Isaac suffering. And he showed the sacrifice to Isaac that he had prepared, which was a ram, which while Isaac and Abraham had been walking up Mount Moriah, up the other side, the ram had been coming, and only when they got to the top was the ram visible. And that's often the way it is with God. We often don't see his provision until we're at the top of the mountain. So, the fact is that Abraham accepted the resurrection. And that is a reminder to us all that accepting the resurrection is an essential part of our faith. There's no point, people, in worshipping a dead Jesus. You can't follow a dead man very far. He doesn't move a lot, doesn't a dead man? A living Jesus, however, can change your life. His resurrection changes everything. Do you believe that? I believe it. It's great. My fifth point today is obedience. That's a nice little picture, isn't it? Sir, yes, sir. Little baby saluting. It is, of course, an American picture. You can tell. Only the Americans salute like that. But bless him. Acts 7, verse 2. Brothers and fathers, he said, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran and said to him, get out of your country and away from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. You know, the New Testament's full of Abraham, isn't it? You know, we've been looking at Abraham in Genesis, but he's all over the New Testament. And what this tells us in Acts 7 is Abraham listened to God and obeyed. Please remember, he's 75 when this happens. He has no track record of any relationship with God. He has heard God probably for the very first time, and he's prepared to walk away from lunar worship, from his family, from the place he's grown up. He becomes mobile, and he does that because God has said to him. Let's all listen to God and do what he says. Can I say this to you? There's never any loss in obedience. There really isn't. You never lose out for a bit obeying God. You know, some of the things, my wife and I, we were talking a little bit this week, Some of the things we've been through in life, you know, we would never have chosen to go through, but, you know, we've gone that way often because of our obedience. And all of it, you know, the end of it is God's been good to us. We can say, we can point to the times when we can demonstrate the goodness of God in our lives. And, you know, obedience never did anyone any harm. We want to say, well, I'll do it when I want to. And you know something? You have free will. You do. God made you that way. God wants you that way. In that sense, God is pro-choice. He wants you to have free will. But also, God calls us to obey. And we ought to just realize that using our free will to choose to obey God is not a bad thing. Because God's way is always a way of blessing. And Abraham taught us that. My sixth point today. Can anybody tell me what that's a picture of? Anybody recognize it? It is a foot. Whose foot is it? Indiana Jones? Indiana Jones, that is when he is sticking out his foot to walk across an invisible bridge. Yeah? There's a glass bridge between him and the Holy Grail is after. And he sticks out his foot and he steps out into an abyss only to find it's a glass bridge. And then he throws a load of dust that he's picked up out of his pocket over the rest of the bridge. Why didn't he do that before he stuck his foot out? But he does it to demonstrate the step of faith. And preachers all over the world have been using this photo for years to demonstrate what it means to have faith. Galatians 3 verse 6 says this, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness, so understand that those who have faith are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and foretold the good news to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.' So those who have faith are blessed with Abraham who had faith." Abraham had enough faith to leave. To leave everybody behind. My wife and I, we've done that twice. Left everyone behind. You know something? It takes a lot of faith. Abraham did it. And I couldn't have done that unless Abraham had done it. The fact is, Abraham demonstrates to us what faith means. He is an example to us all of faith, being sure of what we hope for and confident of what we don't yet see. You say, well, that's a crazy definition of faith. How can that make any sense? Well, that's the definition the Bible gives us in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and confident of what we don't yet see. How can you do that? You do it by faith. Your faith chooses to believe that God will not let you down. That's what Indiana Jones does here. He chooses to believe that he will not fall into the abyss, but something will bear him up. And sure enough, there's a glass bridge. This isn't blind faith. This is having faith with your eyes open. This is having faith that trusts, even though you can see there's no bridge in front of you. This is faith that says, I will trust God even though I cannot see a way out because I believe that God has got a way for me. God will make a way of escape, the scripture tells us. And he does. So faith that trusts all the way to Calvary, to the cross, and back again through the empty tomb, we're called to have that faith. And Abraham had that faith. Romans 4 verse 12. And Abraham became the father of the circumcised, not only to those who are circumcised, but also to those who follow in the footsteps of the faith our Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Abraham's faith happened before he received the mark of circumcision, and ours also has. Galatians 3:14, the purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus so that we could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, people, to the best of my knowledge, everyone in this room is a Gentile. We are not Jews. We don't have anything that the Jews had or the promises that they had. We have the promises of Abraham because they were always aimed at the Gentiles. They were always written for all mankind. In fact, God's intention was always that salvation would come through the Jews to the Gentiles. And we have that salvation. Thank God for that. Thank God for the blessing that Abraham has come upon us. Do you remember the blessing on Abraham? God will bless you abundantly. Every way that you can think of. That blessing comes upon us. Because we are inheritors. We are sons. We are sons who inherit. Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now please, help me here. Sometimes you could accuse Stephen Redman of not knowing where he's going, because I have a notoriously bad sense of direction. But even I have got m'lady in the car, who speaks to me in her feminine voice and tells me what to do, which way to go, left and right, and I depend on my sat-nav to get me there on time. But you know something? Abraham went without sat-nav. Abraham went not having a clue where he was going. He didn't know. He just set off. Which direction do you go in if you're setting off? Which way? Well, he just picked a direction and set off. And God led him the way. And I don't know if he set off west and ended up going east, or set off east and ended up going west, or south, north, or north, northeast, or whatever. But do you know what? God led him to a land that he would give him. And it's so good, isn't it, when we can say, well, I know exactly where I'm going. A couple of years ago, we had a fantastic holiday in Rome. And my wife spent hours planning the nth degree. So we knew exactly what we were going to do every day. We had a fantastic holiday. But, you know, she'd done the planning. It was a work of art, her planning. But, you know, Abraham had no plan. He just had a word. Go. And so he said, okay, I'll go. How wonderful that we can take a step of faith and go when we need to. He was looking forward to a city that has foundations and architect, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham knew what the end goal was. He just didn't know where he was going. But he was prepared to follow the word of the Lord. My seventh point today, don't worry, there are only 21. My seventh point is relationship. It's all about relationship. How often do you hear that said in this church? It's our prime value as a church. We believe it's all about relationship. Romans 4 verse 1. What then can we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? If Abraham was justified by works, then he has something to brag about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. This is repeated in the New Testament a number of times. This is repeated so that we can understand this. Abraham believed God, and his faith was returned to him as righteousness. Now, righteousness, it does not mean moral perfection. We often think it does. We always think, oh, so-and-so's a righteous person. That means they're a very, very good person. No, it doesn't mean that. It means that righteousness means right standing with God. It means you can stand before God without fear of condemnation because he has given you righteousness. Abraham was made righteous by giving right standing to God. And that is how it works for us also. We are not right. In fact, I heard someone say the other day, that Steve Redman, you know, he's not right. So it's true, we're not right. You could have laughed. But we do have right standing with God. And that's all that matters. That is a gift from God. And relationship is what it's all about, people. Abraham believed God, and by our faith, we also have right standing with God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it great to know today we can just walk into the presence of God?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm praying and I just see myself walking into the throne room. And I'm not saying I don't respect God, I do. Sometimes I'm quite fearful of God. But do you know what? I know that in the presence of God, there's a welcome for me. And that is relationship. That's righteousness. I must confess now my sin in that I said to you there were 21 points. There are actually 8. And the 8th point today is new covenant. This morning, we have celebrated the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ by breaking bread together. We are not under the law. Yeah? But neither was Abraham. He wasn't under the law. The law came hundreds of years after Abraham. Abraham is the forerunner of all who have faith in God. And we want to recognize this morning, that Abraham was the one who has run ahead of us. He has demonstrated what it's like to be a person who lives in faith. Galatians 3 verse 15. No one sets aside even a human covenant that has been ratified or makes additions to it. So if a covenant's been established, no one changes it, you don't add bits to it, that's a done deal, right? We recognize that. That happens under law even today. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as though referring to many, but unto your seed, referring to one. Who is Isaac? No. No. Who is Christ? Abraham's seed is Christ. And I say this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not revoke a covenant that was previously ratified by God so as to cancel the promise. For if the inheritance is from the law, it is no longer from the promise, but God granted it to Abraham through the promise. This is the good news, people. The promise to Abraham was that God would bring blessing to the human race through his seed, singular. And that wasn't Isaac. Isaac was the child of promise, yes, but through the descendants of Isaac, Jesus the Christ would bless the whole world. And that is our good news, and it's our new covenant. That was established before the law, before the Ten Commandments, before any of this stuff. It was even established before circumcision. And this is something which is still active now. We can't alter the covenant that happened before the law, because it's a covenant. It was established by God, and it was to be fulfilled in Christ, and it has been. And that sacrifice that Jesus made completed a covenant which was promised to Abraham. We are the inheritors of that promise. We are the people who have been blessed by that promise. The promise that in Jesus Christ we can be forgiven, receive peace with God, have right standing before God. That is a new covenant of the blood of Jesus, and it fulfills the promise to Abraham. This is not replacing anything. This is not replacing anything. This is fulfilling everything. This is completing the promise. This is what God promised, and we can't change it. Abraham is presented to us as the one promised to bring us the Christ, the seed of God, and the one who would bring blessing to the whole world, not just the Jewish world. Because technically, of course, Abraham wasn't a Jew. The Jews are descended from Judah. Okay, he's a Semite, he is one of the founding, the patriarchs that gave birth to the Jews. But this is not a promise to the Jews. It's a promise to all people, to all who will call on the name of the Lord. Christ, the seed of God, the word that proceeds out of God, and also descended from Abraham via Judah. Galatians 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born according to the flesh. In other words, it was Abraham's idea and Sarah's idea. While the one by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. That's Isaac. These things are illustrations. For the women represent the two covenants. One from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem. For she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free and she is our mother. Verse 31. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. Abraham is so involved in the message of our gospel. Abraham is so involved in our New Testament. Abraham illustrates so much of it all. And here we have this message. The children of Hagar, the children of the law, are slaves to the law, but we are children of the free woman. We have a better covenant. Nothing to do with animal sacrifices, but everything to do with the sacrifice of one God-man, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, God's Christ, God's anointed one. This is all part of the message of Abraham. Hasn't it been a great journey? Haven't we learned so much from Abraham? There is so much more we could do. I could have stretched this out a bit longer. But, you know, really, that is the summation of the main points that we have travelled with Abraham, when we have learnt so much. Today, what we've really seen is that the foundations of what we believe as New Testament Christians, most of them are found in Abraham. Abraham has so much to teach us. In fact, Paul tells us, Abraham is your father. Your father. And the Jews in Jesus' day, they would say, we have a father, his name is Abraham. And Jesus said to them, if you did as your father did, you'd recognize me, but you're not doing. But we recognize that our father is Abraham. And our father of all fathers is God. We have so much to learn from him, so many examples. And the apostles used Abraham time after time to draw out these key points to teach us about life, resurrection, obedience, faith, relationship, and covenant. What a lot to learn. Let's bow our heads together and pray. Father, we thank you for all that we have learnt reading about Abraham these last 12 weeks. And we ask you that today we might all take that step of faith to follow Jesus as Saviour and Lord, believing and knowing that you will hold us up if we leap out to you. Father, help us to know that we should always follow you and be obedient, that obedience never costs us anything in the long term, but always brings us into blessing. We thank you, Father, today for right standing with you. We thank you for faith, which initially came as a seed from you. We thank you so much for the resurrection and the life that we are now part of. And we thank you, Father, that when we see you, we will also meet Abraham. And we will then be able to thank him for what he's taught us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.